I'm going to be talking today about spiritual disciplines and practices. Andy's going to come up and join me in a while to explain his own personal experience of being at a retreat over the summer, to Friday. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. we want to run through this really serious stuff of putting on the formal shoes. Got my whole outfit today. Putting on these really maybe tight, a bit painful to wear, kind of formal shoes that we need to put on to be professional Christians, to be really serious, to really get into it and really engage with Jesus as we work out what spiritual disciplines we can carry out in our lives and the benefits and costs to us of doing that. So what I want to do is just tell you a little bit about my week. I've been at work all week, and last Friday I got a surprise, really, because suddenly I was told, you've got to go on this really important bid for some new work. And so Thursday, Friday this week, I've been up in Yorkshire, involved in bidding for this new work. And so I had to put on some really, really formal shoes. Because way back when I first joined my company, 7 years ago, wasn't it? For me, switching from being a student to being working in a professional workplace in an office, that was a big challenge. But actually, that was really more about, you know, it's quite a normal workplace. You don't wear jeans, but you don't wear a big kind of suit every day. But it was still a jump from being a student. But this week, it was even more formal. It was a case of having to practice really, really hard, to do these presentations really well, to deal with the questions that were going to be thrown at us. We didn't know what the questions were, we didn't get them in advance. We had to prepare for all the different eventualities and then go for it and perform. And we had 4 hours to prepare these scenarios and then present them in front of customers. But yeah, yeah, that's what we had to be really positive and go for it. And we're not going to hear for another couple of months of how we do. But that's an illustration for me of how day to day I put on quite formal shoes. In fact, the thing is, they got so comfy. These are the ones that are now a bit worn out, really. Somehow I've still got them, not thrown them away yet. But I don't wear these anymore, because they got so comfy from wearing them for 2 or 3 years. But, yeah, they're not really formal anymore. But they're comfy, and they are still formal shoes. They're not famous, aren't they? They're still formal shoes, but I wore them so much that they got comfy. Whereas this is my outfit that I wore on Friday. Yeah, these are formal shoes. But they're not as painful as those ones.
Perhaps the difference is that the ones you're wearing just don't fit.
Yeah, there is that.
Women don't worry about that, though. How they look,
So what I want to do is I'll cover some of the background, then obviously Andy will come in with his personal experience of these disciplines. And obviously there are lots and lots of these disciplines. I'm going to hand out these sheets. You have a look at the kind of disciplines there are. You can just hand that around your, pass that around your section. What we're talking about is personal disciplines, the ones that you do on your own, the ones that you might do in secret, like praying, like writing a prayer journal, those kinds of things. And these are the things that Christians have done for generations. We're walking in the paths that our ancestors have walked in. We're walking in tried and tested methods, ways of being a Christian, that are worth doing, because they help you experience God, they help you follow Jesus, essentially. So there's these personal ones. You'll see on the flip side of the paper, there's also the corporate disciplines, the ones that we do together. I think all of you today have already done one of those. You turned up this morning. Well done. So that's a really great thing, actually getting engaged with the local body of Christ, with the local church, and together being Jesus, being the body of Christ. That's brilliant. And there's loads of other ones that we can do together. And then there are those that are missional, the ones that are putting love into action and that affect the rest of the world by sharing Jesus with others. So I'm not going to cover all of these at all today. This is the challenge, is for you to consider them and to learn about them. I think probably corporately we've probably covered them all, because each individual will have got really good at some of these, so we can learn from each other. And later on we'll ask you for some feedback on the kind of ones that you tried out the kind of form that you put on. I want to just run through some of the costs and then the benefits. So you see on that bit of paper, I put like costs and benefits. So you can start to think about yourself against each one individually, what the cost of doing one is and what your benefit is. But just more generally, basically, the cost of doing these things is you've got to put time in, you've got to put energy in, you've got to do it. And for me, that's the killer. It's you've actually got to do it, you've got to stop being lazy, you've got to get up and do them. That's the really, really hard bit. Mm-hmm. And once you've got over that, it's fine. But actually getting over that is really difficult. For example, things like the sacrificial giving one there, if that's talking about money and finances, you know, that's going to be really hard. That might be giving up a really special holiday to, no, just do a normal holiday and give the rest away to somebody in need or something like that. That kind of giving up, that kind of cost. Or for me on the serving one, and we're going to hear massive more about the serving one in a few weeks' time when Dave and Carol talk about it. But for me, there's a serving one. The example that kind of came to mind recently was with Cabaret back in, I think, May, June time. I was asked to be on the team doing the teas and coffees. And for me, that was really, really hard work. It's silly, because I love serving. Serving is great. But on the day, actually doing it in the evening, was really hard work. It was real cost to kind of keep it together and do it. And maybe circumstances at the time, but it just was really, really hard work, and I would love to have not been there, but I was there and I was doing it, and somehow the stress I think of doing a new thing, so I hadn't actually particularly served tea and coffee as much. Well, it sounds really simple, doesn't it? It's crazy. The guys who do it all the time, they're perfect, they did it, it's great. But it seemed to me that everything that could go wrong seemed to be going wrong. It just seemed really, really hard because it was doing something new. Whereas the other task I normally do at Cabaret is standing up in front, looking rather glam, and I now find that so easy because I've done it many, many times. And it's the thing about practicing them that you're counting the cost maybe when you're initially first doing them and trying them out and trying to keep at them and trying to keep doing them. Whereas maybe once you start practicing them, it will become easier and you will get into them and you will be able to embrace them and the shoes won't hurt quite so much. It won't be as painful as spilling tea and coffee the first time. Maybe if I keep at it, that would get better. Or maybe I would still be spilling tea. And practice makes perfect. It's one of those things. So that's the cost. You need to also look at the benefits and on the benefit side, obviously for each individual one, there's going to be a really specific benefit. But just to talk generally, overall, we're doing these, you've got to remember the goal. The goal to do these is to follow Jesus. Jesus asked his disciples to deny yourselves, pick up your cross, and follow me. And so, well, why do that? It's the follow me bit. It's worth denying yourself. It's worth picking up your cross, whatever that might be, because of the following Jesus bit. And so you've got to keep remembering the goal all the time and not get so tied up with, oh, I'm doing these things to show off to people, what a super Christian I am, look at me. It's not those kind of things. It's the point of doing them is to follow Jesus. And so the benefits as you do these things, which, as I said before, they're tried and tested methods. Christians for many generations have done these kind of things. We've got to find the right way to fit them into our lives and our society, but it's worth doing because you experience God as you do them. They are a way to follow Jesus. You develop your character as well. You do some of the maybe more the personal things, which are about, you know, if you're a really busy person, actually stopping and going into a time of solitude and quiet. That's going to change your character and develop your character into more like Jesus would like it to be. And so we're talking about experiencing God, developing your character, and also being awake to God and hearing from him. There's a whole series of books I keep referring to, I've got out here. There's a real classic, Joyce Huggett's Listening to God one. So that's all about being quiet, taking time in solitude to listen to God. And if you do that discipline, the massive benefit is you'll be hearing from God and and understanding more about him and his character and following him more closely. So there are masses and masses of benefits. But yeah, all the time, it's, you don't just do the disciplines for the sake of doing them, because they're kind of like, just because they're fun to do, which obviously some of them are, you've got fun to do, and you can really get into them. You do them because it's worth it to follow Jesus. I think it's time to hand over to Andy. Yeah. Andy has been trying on these shoes recently. So.
The heels.
What?
Not these.
Not for driving the Jeep, Andy.
No, but these.
You need to take them off. You're passing around.
These are really old shoes, actually, but they look brand new. Because I realised, actually, I was telling Donna this morning that I don't think I've ever polished them, but I've had them over 20 years. They hurt like hell. This is a real sacrifice this morning to wear them, because they just, you know, they're for parties that won't last more than an hour and a half. And stuff like that. And they really do hurt everywhere. And I've got my left foot, my big toe is hurting. Trying to work it. Oh, you know, so it's quite a thing. But I wanted to tell you about my 4 days that I had at the Friary. Not the Priory. I want to just dispel the whole concept now. You're not having drugs or drinks from something. It's the Priory, it's the Priory.
There was a chip shop then.
the difference, for people who don't know, like I didn't know before I went, a priory and a monastery are different. Okay? Monks stay in a monastery and they would stay in the same monastery. For most of their life and their ministry, and they would have, you know, a hospitality ministry or whatever the monastery would have. Whereas a friary is a place, it's usually in an urban area, particularly for it's an Anglican order that I went to, which was St. Francis of Assisi. Been around quite a long time, obviously, about the mid 1500s, I think. But this particular place that I went to, it had been running from about late 20s, 1930s, something like that. But normally they're in an urban area, but the one I went to was down in Dorset, which is obviously very rural. And it was actually originally set up for wayfarers. Now wayfarers, as they were called then, tramps, you perhaps know them as, had come out of the First World War, shell-shocked, or mental health issues really, I suppose we would now describe it as, and they were just wandering the roads. And these, they set up the Friary to sort of cover that. They've changed though over time. Sorry, friars would move around. That was the other thing. So they might be based in this friary for a while, then they might go off to one friary, you know, which is in a city, working with the homeless or addicts or whatever it was. Then they might be transferred to another country with another friary. It was an international sort of order. Okay, so friars move around over a period of time. Monks stay still, but they all wear sandals. And you won't believe this, but I did ask the question, why do you wear sandals? You know, because I thought it's my only opportunity to ever ask, because I could never understand why monks or friars wear sandals. And to be honest, I didn't really get an answer. The closest answer was this: there was a guy who was in his mid 70s. He'd started as a friar when he was in his late teens, I think. And he said, his answer was, I used to wear no shoes at all. So I think it was an upgrade to standard. Anyway, I've got something here for you, but I've been told not to give it out yet, but it's the timetable of the Priory. And the Priory ran a fairly strict timetable today. In fact, I think I will give it out, because it will just give you an idea of how it sort of ran. You'll see that there's no Monday on it. That is because Monday was their day off, where they didn't have any visitors, it was just the community. And there was about 8 friars, and then there were other people who'd been working there for, say, 20 years, and they were really committed to the place, but they weren't friars, they were just people who were really committed to working for God in that way. There are other people who've been there for a shorter period of time, 2 or 3 years, so most of those are working in the garden that they were developing,
organic sort of gardening and a sort of peace environmental theme. And then there are other people who are visitors, on a regular basis, so they're coming down each week or weekend or monthly or a couple of times a year. And then there are other people like me who just sort of chanced on it and came down for a retreat or something like that. They were known as guests. I went from Tuesday to Friday. So you'll see on the top it says Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So missed out Thursday as well. But Thursday I had a slightly different thing, as you can see. But please note, this is what happened. 7 o'clock, morning prayer and morning meditation. 12 o'clock, midday prayer. And I got caught out, actually, because I actually stayed around after that morning, that midday prayer, and got caught up in the Eucharist, which was slightly unfortunate for me. But there you go, that's just because I find that quite difficult to deal with. And then lunch was good. And then evening prayer at 5:15 and night prayer at 9 o'clock. Okay. Now, you didn't have to go, as a guest, you didn't have to go to any of these things. You could just do whatever you liked. What you did have to go to was the meal times, okay, which, you know, was being part of the community. However, I think I managed one day out of the four to go to at least three of them. I might have managed four on one day, you know, do the whole lot. It was okay doing it whilst I was there. You know, I picked and chose. The first day I was actually extremely tired, which is one of the reasons I went. So I arrived about 10:30, and by 12 o'clock I'd already had an hour's sleep. given me a room, and I'd already kipped, and then I had a kip in the afternoon in between the prayer times. I didn't really do anything else, and I just had a sleep, and I thought, I'll never sleep tonight, and I did. I slept another 10 hours that night. So I was quite tired when I got there, and David sort of said before I go, he said, don't be afraid to just use your time to sleep if necessary. So, you know, I took him at his word, and but the next day, you know, sort of started work after a little bit of gardening work in the morning, but kept going to the prayer times and stuff like that. Now, the other thing that they did was they had a load of different bells. Okay, so they had this giant bell, which was probably about this sort of far across and about this tall off the ground, which is hanging, and they had a proper little rope. It was on a framework about this high, and basically it was 20 acres. So you could be working anywhere on the 20 acres. You rang that bell, everybody on the 20 acres could hear it. And that was around 10 minutes before the prayer time. So I've got a little recording of it for you. And this is Brother Francis ringing this. He was a 70-odd-year-old guy, and skinny as a rank, and quite funny, really. He looked like a little elf when he put his brown hood up. Because you know, he had the brown... Anyway, he probably was dead. So you bring that, then 10 minutes later the prayer time would start, and then there was another bell which had a long rope right up to the top of the building, and as the prayer time was about to start, you'd ring that so that everybody knew it was going to start. And then there was another little hand bell which was for meal time, so you'd gather. Nobody needed a bell to get for meal time. That was strange. There would be a hand bell as we go in. So that was sort of the routine. Now, what I did was, coming back from it, you know, I'd done these prayer times and stuff, and I actually found them quite helpful. So when we're talking about shoes today, formal shoes, this was this formal regulation. Of course, the community had that running, and that was all fine. They did have the day off on Monday, by the way, which meant that they didn't do any of that on a Monday. They could go out, you know, go shopping and whatever, and they could choose, these friars could choose whether to wear their brown habit on one day, you know, or not. So it was relatively easy, and I have to say that I'm a charismatic evangelical for a very good reason. I find Anglicanism very difficult to deal with in terms of its formality. I even struggled with the Eucharist there, as I mentioned earlier, you know, because of the way that they do things, and everything's set, and it's always the same, and it just doesn't seem to me that that's what Christianity is about, you know. And so I've got all this going on, but actually these formal prayer times of morning prayer at 7, and the way that they prayed about the day, and then at midday how things were going, and then the evening prayer, you know, how things had gone a bit, and then at night time, the best one at night time was it prayed sort of something like this. The prayer was, and now Lord, the day has passed and the night is coming, and look after us over the night, and we will watch and we will wait for the morning. And it's quite simple, isn't it? But actually, it felt like a big full stop at the end of the day. It was at 9 o'clock in the evening. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but what I do when I'm at home, and I've been working for the day, sometimes telephone goes off, to go through the bathroom and that, get ready for bed about 10:30. And I've got my computer on, and I think, I'm just going to shut it down. But I've just got to do one thing. So I just press that button, send and receive. You know that one?
Yeah.
Because it might be interesting, mightn't it? And then suddenly you get this email that you weren't expecting that suddenly throws up all these thoughts in your head.
Mm.
And then you think, should I reply to that? And, it's all awkward, isn't it? And then you don't go to sleep for another hour or so because you're thinking about the thing. And in fact, this prayer, though, that was saying, the day has gone, the night is coming, full stop. Stop working, Andy, stop work, and, let the next day take care of itself and that sort of thing. And I found that very, very helpful. So it was the most coherent Anglican prayers that I'd ever heard. So that was a big boost to me, and I think that the 4 days did really well. Now, what I've been doing this week, am I meant to be doing this bit now? Yeah. What I've been doing is, on my phone, I've actually got the facility to put on 5 different alarms. So I've chosen 4, and I've tried to do this week, I've put on the alarms at the different times, and I've used the Friary Bell to ring. So I've set it up so it's different on different days a bit, but some days it's got all 4. And I am struggling. It's just awful. It breaks into your day. I know it is, but you try it. You crumbs, 8:15. That's not so bad, just in the middle of breakfast. 8:15 safe, or I'm thinking about getting breakfast or whatever I'm doing. That's okay, I could do 8:15. 12:15, if I'm working at home, it's not a problem, but if I'm on the bus, it's a major problem, especially if you're driving. Not many way wise to follow, because I'm trying to do 15 minutes. Anyway, on Wednesday, I'll tell you the best example, because you've got to look good. I mean, formal shoes look good. I was going to visit somebody in French Aid Hospital on Wednesday, and I decided that what I was going to do is going to get on the motorway, and then I was going to pull in straight away to Lee Delamere Services, which is only half a mile off the joke that you get on it and you get off it again. And I've gone 15 minutes. So, looked at the clock on the phone, and it was over the time. It was later than the bell had rung. The bell had rung, and I got there. And that was a really good time of prayer. In terms of, if I tell you how it went a bit like this, because this is where it hurts, really, is, okay, I'm giving this time to you, God. I'm giving this time to you, God. And I'm going to pray about something. Right, I'll pray for Dave and Wendy. Okay, I could, pray for Carol. This guy I'm going to go and see in the hospital, pray for him. Just giving this time to you, God. Where's my brain, And it was just a real sort of struggle for what. And then I felt, after about halfway through, I felt God sort of say to me, just put your hands down by your side. I think it was this one. And so I did. And I don't know if you find this, or you find these things happening in prayer, but I've actually found if you do something physical that you feel that you ought to do, it makes a difference. Suddenly I become open a little bit more to what God is saying. So it sounds really strange to put your hands down on your sides, but I did, because I've had that happen before in my life, so differently. And so I did that, and then I just felt God sort of saying, I'm here, and it's okay, and suddenly my whole view of the day started to change. So instead of me struggling along trying to achieve loads and loads of different things, which I've been talking about achievement, how do you know it's been a good day, I was just saying, it's okay, we're just here, just want to chat. And I can't really tell you what else happened, but it did change the way the day went, really. And then of course I failed miserably on getting the next one later in the day and all that sort of thing, but I did wake up one morning thinking, and so the habit was beginning to fall. I actually woke up thinking, I could do 15 minutes, couldn't I? Oh, that's just scary. Thinking like an Anglican or something. So, anyway, a couple of other things just to throw in. Because we're charismatic Christians, we do not read prayers, do we? It's always got to be what's coming out of your heart. you know, your heart and God's, but actually written prayer is quite good, but just so so I've been doing that, and in fact what I did was I read this prayer over this guy at this side for the travel I had that I went to see in French Lake Hospital. I read a prayer over him, which is much better than what I was praying. And then there are other things, because I looked at Donna's list and I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I brought these just to give you an example. I keep a diary, not very often. I keep a journal, not very often. I write down prayers sometimes, not very often. But, you know, but all of them pile up into one thing. So I've been keeping these over a few years now. And I draw drawings or sketches, and then I put something in how I'm going to do for DIY as well. Do you know what I mean? It's the whole bundle. So I don't think there's a great spiritual tone here. You know, it's doing shopping and buying the milk in here as well as the heel centre. No, there isn't any heel. Right. I've got some questions that I wanted to try and make sure that I've answered, really. Here are these questions. I'm going to ask you these questions in a minute. So, get ready. When did you last wear these shoes? Is a question to me. You know, when did I last do this fixed time of prayer? And actually, I don't think I've ever really done it before. It's that quiet time thing many, many years ago. If you've been around long enough, you know that people talk about quiet times, and I always found that really hard. So I never really did that. So I don't think I've ever really worn these shoes very often. As you can tell from these brown ones, I wear them as little as I can, because they hurt too much. What happened? Well, I told you that I was actually surprised by the sense that some of these prayers made, the fixed times of prayer and the fixed prayers. Where does it hurt your feet? Now, for me, obviously, you know, these shoes hurt my feet, but where does it actually hurt us? Now, I tried to delve into myself about that. Where does it actually hurt us as we try to do these fixed things? First of all, rebellion. I think, no, I'm not having somebody tell me what to do. Okay? I have to get over that. I don't know if you do. You might find that's not a problem. But it is for me. And actually, like Donna said, getting to do it and stuff like that. And sitting quiet, finding my mind wanders, and you have to constantly bring it back. I've discovered now that's not really a problem. Everybody has to do that, so you just have to keep bringing it back. How do you take a step forward in these shoes? I've explained, you know, I'm trying this thing with the alarms now with the phone. And who will be affected as you do so? And I thought long and hard about this, I tried to think of all of you lot and thinking how you would be affected by my prayer times, you know, fixed prayer times, and you know, latch at all. In the end, it went, me. I will be affected most. And you might find me a little bit different. And what I meant by that was you might find me a little bit less angry about stupid little things. So actually, it'll be, hopefully, Philippa will notice that I don't get angry that she keeps moving my contact lens from one place to another. So maybe I'll be more peaceful. So, you've got to have a little discussion now with somebody sitting next to you as to where it might. I've written out the questions down. Where did you last wear formal shoes? What happened? Where did they hurt your feet? Can you take a step forward, and who will be affected? And I've given you my answers. Not so that you can just repeat them, but obviously so it gives you a head start. Because as me and Donna were talking about this, we realised that it's quite difficult to answer these questions, you know, get your head on it. So hopefully we've given you a head start. So you've got about 5 minutes now to just discuss. And then we're going to take feedback from you. So don't say anything you don't want other people to say for you, because they will. Well, you have to swear them to secrecy. And then we'll just see how it goes from there, and then Donna's going to wrap up. So, go. Find someone quick next to you. Talk. Is that right? Do we need to focus on one? No, it's formal shoes, isn't it? It's formal shoes, you said that. That takes too long. How about your introduction? Yeah, it's formal Tuesday. So it's... formal shoes, which means it's about like fixed times of prayer, you know, these fixed things like fasting and self-denial or solitude, that sort of thing. We're not talking about other stuff that can easy come, easy go. So it's things where you have to be more formal, because this is the ones, these shoes are the ones that pinch us. If we were talking about nice comfy trainers, that would be other stuff on the list. So please talk about stuff that pinches you, Who's going to be first? Let's start with the first question. When did you last wear formal shoes? Anybody want to say when they last wore, you know, they did last formal shoes? When did you last wear them? What sort of, come on. Who last did this, you know, I mean, was it 20 minutes ago? Was it a week ago? 10 years ago? Never. Sorry, Marion.
2 years ago.
Okay, let's have 2 years of that.
Thursday.
Who said 3 years? 3 years. This morning. Very good. Anybody else?
Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got Thursday.
Yeah, that's cool.
8 years ago.
8 years ago. Okay.
When we were students.
Do you want to say how many years ago that was? Anybody else? Okay. Okay, then what happens, guys? Anybody else who's not answering, you know, you don't have to be the same people. So what happened when you prayed like that, or you did this fixed time, or you did this thing?
Closer
to God?
I just felt my week like would go really well, and everything that like happened or things that I was worried about would just go really well. It was really like, so everything came easier.
Yeah, okay.
I felt like I understood more what God wanted as well.
Right, so you felt you're hearing God.
And for things.
Is that what you mean?
Well, being closer and therefore understanding more what his direction is.
But okay.
Anchored things. And like the fixed time were anchored things.
Okay, so your day was anchored,
yeah.
You mean, and your week was
anchored.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's cool. Sorry?
Laying foundations.
Laying foundations.
When rubbish happened in the day, it didn't affect you as much.
Right. This side? Because I'm winning at the moment. Okay. Where do they hurt your feet? Where do they actually hurt? Hang on a minute.
Physical
you,
body.
Just rather than the you know.
Other things happening at the same time.
Other things happening, yeah. Clashes. Yeah, clashes. Yeah, yeah. That's
less
so that's in the computer. Sorry.
Less sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So less sleep. Right.
Less sleep.
Okay.
Physical pain.
Physical pain.
Should we ask about that?
What do you mean? You need knee pads? Or
no, my thing was to give up coffee, caffeine for a month, and I had the worst possible headache I have ever experienced.
Right.
I was almost 24
hours. Right, yeah, yeah. As,
I'll
okay.
Put it as it is, Marion. Addiction.
Okay.
Addition,
yeah. Right, anybody else?
I couldn't stay up late anymore.
You couldn't stay up late anymore, yeah. There's a cost, isn't there? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Okay. This is the cost. Hurting your feet is a cost issue, yeah.
I know times when God didn't answer every long periods.
Right.
Disappointment.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah. Geez, I wonder what he's up to when he doesn't answer. Yeah, really.
And frustration, because actually sometimes he's very sneaky. It's that old thing of the 59th second or the 59th minute of the hour.
He
often
doesn't
do it so right.
Okay. Yeah.
Do no perseverance.
Okay. Okay, let's just move on. How do you take a step forward? Right, it could be perseverance. We won't put that for a minute. How do you take a step forward?
Do it more already.
Thanks, Ruth. You're right, I'm sure. More often, do it more often.
Accountability.
What do you mean?
Well, like, if you say to me, this is what I'm going to do.
Oh, I see, right. Yeah.
Because if I say to myself, oh, I'm going to do such and such, I get to the end of the day, and I go, oh, I haven't, oh, well. You know.
But if Paul knew about it, yeah. He'd check up.
Yeah,
Like you could get like a friend or something, and you could do it like in a pair and check on each other. I've been very kind on myself with the phone alarm things. You know, I snooze it. It snoozes for 9 minutes, and I go through. I do a snooze for about 3 times, and then after I go, oh, sorry, I can't do that anymore. Do the next one in 4 hours. You know, so. But yeah, you have to be kind to yourself. Don't you? Well, do that, don't you? Anyway, anybody else, how can you take a step forward? Because it's working out how to do it during the day, isn't it? You can see how I've had to go from a formal friary thing, which they can do, they've set their day, and I have to bring it into my day, and it's quite hard. And so that's what we're talking about, trying to bring it into our day.
Realise it's a process, because sometimes you'll think, oh, well, yes, I can do it then, and then it just doesn't happen for one reason or another. And not beat yourself up because all the other people have done it, but think, well, actually, is there a better way that I can do it? And realise it's probably going to take 4 or 5 iterations before you find the place where it is an effort to do, but actually also is practical to do, and that balance
is okay.
So therefore it involves planning. It's not just going to happen.
You've got to work it out and do so. Yeah. Okay, let's just go to who will be...
Sorry, can I have one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pray. To pray about.
How can you take a step forward? To pray about it, yeah?
I think too, saying perseverance.
Well, realise that it might take a while.
Be realistic.
Yeah. Realistic, yeah. Okay.
Part of it, actually, is choose to do so.
Yeah.
Act of the world.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, who will be affected as you do so? Now, you can't just say me like I did, because I've already given you that answer.
Well, if you're doing it like with a friend, then your friend...
Do you think they will be affected? Okay, so other people who know about it, yeah?
Your family and household, and sometimes that's negative. Yeah. Sometimes if you say it, I'm having this time,
Because
you have to be God-changed during
the time. Yes. Okay.
God will be affected.
Yeah.
I think that drawing you closer to God than anyone you talk to about God might also be affected, because you're able to give them a possibly a better answer or more in depth.
Cool. Good. Yep. Others around us then, yeah.
I think we can be bold on that. If we're in the right place with God, then he's more likely to answer our prayers.
Right.
So fix ourselves.
Pardon?
It affects us.
It increases our faith.
If we're praying right.
Yeah, all sorts of little things. I've got things I can tell you that have been bubbling up because of this, I think, in me. So one's about faith. So, yeah. So how do we want to word that one?
That's an answered prayer. So whatever you're praying about.
Yeah.
Maybe answer.
In the flow. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay.
I'm done.
Well, just to wrap things up then, spiritual disciplines, or do you want to feel nicer about it, spiritual practices sounds nicer, doesn't it? There is a load of people who want to help you do these things. There's lots of serious books about it, and actually quite easy to read books as well about it. And on our website, we've got things about it too, and we'll keep talking about it this term. It's really worth doing, because it's denying yourself, taking up your cross, following Jesus. It's worth doing because you can experience God more. You can develop your character and you can be awake to God. And so it really is worth doing. So take away the lists and ideas. Don't just throw it away. Have a think about them, pray about them. And let us know together what ones you've taken on, what ones you've tried. We want to hear.
Thanks very much.